Good morning, everybody. This is the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy Board Meeting regular session on January 28th, 2025. This meeting is being recorded. It is currently 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. Dr. Bastillo, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of board members and staff and proceed to the reading of the board's mission statement.
Great. I'd like to call the January 28th, 2025 Arizona Board of Physical Therapy meeting to order.
Thank you. And now for the roll call, Dr. Bastillo.
Here.
Dr. King. Mr. Leone.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton.
I am here. For some reason, it's not letting me join via video, so I'm present via phone.
Thank you. Dr. Hike?
Here.
And board staff, Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Bryant?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Dr. Sinish?
Here.
My name is Judy Chepius, and we are also joined by our Assistant Attorney General, Mark Harris. I believe Dr. Hike is going to read the mission statement for us.
Yes. The mission of the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy is to protect the public from the incompetent, unprofessional, and unlawful practice of physical therapy. The Arizona Physical Therapy Practice Act establishes the standards for the practice of physical therapy, continuing competence and testing, and defines the scope and limitations of practice. The board licenses qualified applicants as physical therapists and physical therapist assistants and receives, investigates, and adjudicates complaints against licensees.
Great. Thank you.
Meeting is yours.
Thank you. The first order of business is to review and accept our minutes from the December 17th, 2024 regular session. Are there any changes?
Mr. Barton, sorry, Dr. Bastillo.
No, go ahead.
I have reviewed the minutes, and I move that we approve them as they have been submitted.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda consisting of the regular session meeting minutes from the December 17th, 2024 board meeting. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Moving on to number four, applications for licensure. There is nothing under A and B, which brings us to C, Jerry Barassa.
I do believe Mr. Barassa's on the call. So attached to your memorandum was Jerry Barassa's application for physical therapist licensure. Mr. Barassa does not have a current active PT license. Mr. Barassa had an Arizona license number LPT001370, which expired on August 31st, 2012. Mr. Barassa also held a New Mexico PT license, which expired February 1st, 2006, and a California PT license expired 11/30/2011. Mr. Barassa is applying in accordance with ARS 32-2028-B, which requires he demonstrate to the board satisfaction competency by satisfying one or more of the following: practicing for a specified time under an interim permit, completing remedial courses, completing continuing competence requirements for the period of lapsed license, and/or passing an examination. Typically, an application of this nature is presented to the board, including evidence of completing continuing competence requirements for the period of the lapsed license. In Mr. Barassa's case, this equates to 140 contact hours. Mr. Barassa has not, however, completed or provided evidence of the 140 hours of continuing competence. The board shall review this information to determine whether the applicant meets the requirements of ARS 32-2022 and 32-2028. The board must determine whether the applicant has demonstrated to the board's satisfaction competence for licensure upon successful completion of the application process and passage of the Arizona Law Jurisprudence Exam for reentry to practice. If the board determines this applicant does not sufficiently demonstrate competence for reentry to practice or has not met requirements for licensure and approval to take the exams, the board may order additional requirements for competency or deny the application. Applicant may subsequently appeal the denial. This matters for your review.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Barasa, are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes.
Great. I do have one. What have you done in the past, 10 years to keep up your skill set?
This meeting is the most important meeting of my professional career. So I, back in 2011, July the 5th, I had a stroke. And I contacted the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy, and they told me that in order for me to continue practicing, I would either have to take the state board or I could retire. Well, at the time, I was in no shape or no way to practice physical therapy. I had right-sided weakness and so forth. I couldn't elevate my arm more than 15 degrees. I could not elevate my leg more than 15 degrees. But to answer your question, I have not followed through with getting my license. I just retired. They gave me a choice: either take the state board or you can retire. And therefore, I retired. And I don't know if that answered the question or not, but that's where I'm at.
So it's really our position to determine if you're competent to practice. And the profession has changed dramatically in the last 13 years. And so continued competence is really an important part of being able to continue to practice. And so I feel, and we'll hear from the other board members, that that your ability to demonstrate that you have tried to keep up with the changing nature of practice is very important for us to want to be able to reinstate your license.
I have not practiced physical therapy per se, but I am a exercise fanatic, and I took it upon myself that if I could not return to normal functioning, I would be the most functional I could be.
And of course.
Pardon?
Of course, yeah.
And so what I did was I turned to exercise, and as I proceeded year after year, I regained a lot better motion. My strength is normal. My range of motion is normal. I can go from point A to point B. And I do think that I have rehabilitated myself to the point where I could help stroke patients. If I could convince stroke patients that I'm a physical therapist, but I'm also a stroke patient, if I could convince them that what I've done, they can do. And so that's pretty.
So have you tried to work in a clinic in your area?
Yes. One of my letters of reference is Thad Rummage. And he has a clinic here in town. And I've known Thad for almost 40 years. And when I first got out of the hospital, I went to Thad for rehabilitation. At the time that I got out of the hospital, like I said, I couldn't hardly move my arm and I couldn't hardly move my leg. He had watched me progress to the point where I live by myself. I take care of my business, personal and, well, not professional, but personal business. And I feel that I could benefit stroke patients particularly in getting them to realize that they can do more than they could do more than if I could do this for myself, they could do what I have done.
Right. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything that you've done to improve your own physical status over the years. That's really commendable. But again, where our job here is to make sure that you are safe to practice physical therapy.
Yeah, I feel I am.
You have to be able to demonstrate that, and there's a couple of ways to do that. Do you have any thoughts, Dr. Hike?
Several of us are physical therapists and physical therapist assistants. I'm not sure if you were aware of that, but so we do understand working with individuals with a stroke and your capacity in terms of the gains that you've made have been great. And that's very admirable, but we also need demonstration of being able to demonstrate that in terms of competence. And so you might be able to have range of motion. You might be able to absolutely help patients with a stroke or other disabilities like us, but you have to demonstrate your competence to us, not what you can lift, but what you can prove in terms of taking the exam and or showing credit hours. And so if you don't have the credit hours, then we can't have you practicing because it's a long time of not practicing, sir.
I brought up the issue of continuing education to Judy Chiefus.
Yes, sir. And when we've read all of those emails and we have those documents. So we have already read those emails. So we're coming to this prepared. We know about you in terms of the information and all those interactions with the board. Yes, sir. We have reviewed those. It's on my other screen right over here. So yes, we are very aware of those things.
Thad, who owns Biomechanics, I would go to work for him, and he has said that I could do therapy if given a license application renewal. And I don't know what I can do. I mean, I can stand up, I can get on the ground, I can do anything and everything that a normal person can do. I feel that I'm a physical therapist, but I've also had a stroke. I've come a long, long ways in my rehabilitation and to the point that I feel now I can help particularly stroke patients. If they see what I can do, they may take it upon themselves to try and do the same thing. And
yes, sir, but you have to show your competence. And so it's not about us viewing you of doing treating a patient. It's about you showing us that you have that competence. So you need to take courses, and those courses need to be done. Otherwise, in terms of this meeting, we don't know that you're competent. And so you need to be able to prove that.
But have you read my letter, of recommendation?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Anyone that has been out of the field for any length of time needs to demonstrate competence, no matter what their physical capacity is. And so it's just part of our rules and regulations and part of our state law. And so it's our job to protect the public in terms of showing competence for each and every licensee that we have.
Yes, sir.
I would, in the event that I am granted a licensure, I would work with Thad Rummage, and he would oversee everything that I do. And if I failed to meet the competencies, he would let you know. He would let you know, and he would let me know. But the fact that I've had a stroke and I've overcome so much in my rehabilitation that I just feel that I can do patients, especially a stroke patient, I can show them how to accomplish what I've done, and I just think that patients would benefit from it. I don't know what I can say or what I can do other than the fact that if I am granted a license and I go to work at Biomechanics, I will work directly under the supervision of Thad Rummage, who owns the clinic, and he would be willing to tell me, hey, you're not competent enough, and I would accept that. But if I'm not granted a license, I can't even apply for a job. And
maybe not as a physical therapist, but I do feel like, you know, you do have some strong motivational skills. And I do think that might be, you know, very helpful for people. But
Mr.
I
Barras,
do agree. Go ahead, Mr. Barton.
Sorry, Dr. Basile. Mr. Barassa, it sounds like you have an opportunity to work at this at a physical therapy complex. Have you looked at getting an interim license and working under an interim license for some amount of time, then coming back and talking to us? Because I'll be honest with you, I shared Dr. Hike and Dr. Bastillo's concerns that we don't have any evidence of competency here, but one of the options we do have is to assess you after you've worked under an interim license for some amount of time.
I would accept that, and I would go to work for Thad, and I would work directly under Thad. And he would watch every step I made, and he would tell me if I'm doing it right or if I'm doing it wrong. And if he tells me I'm doing it wrong, then I will forego my physical therapy license. But I just feel that because of exercise that I've done all my life, and especially in the last 14 years since I've had my stroke, I can benefit patients, especially stroke patients. And to be honest with you, I've gone to, you know, stroke meetings and so forth, and they don't really, the stroke meetings that I went to, they had to give it up because there were not enough patients to benefit. So what I'm saying is, if I was granted a license and an interim license, I would go to work at Biomechanics. And you, I mean, if you want to talk to Thad, he would be glad to talk to you. But I think that.
So, Mr. Barasa, can we see if anyone has any other questions for you?
And Madam Chair, members of the board, Mr. Barton, before the board proceeds too far down the road of a temporary license, if that is something the board would like to consider, I would ask that you consider going into executive session for legal advice on that issue.
Before we do something like that, I do have a question for Dr. Barasa. Dr. Barasa, I saw that there was some communication back on September 24th regarding the board office wanting to talk to you about the 140 hours of continuing education that would potentially make you eligible based on the courses that you take. That would be, you know, something that would allow us to determine competence for you to get back into treating and then let you take the law exam at that point. Is there a reason that you haven't taken any continuing education courses to start building up towards that 140? Because that really is what is going to potentially convince us that you're ready to practice again.
I was not aware. The board retired me. I was not aware that I had to continue my continuing education even though I was retired. So I did not feel necessary to continue my continuing education.
Yeah, and that's totally fine if you weren't doing that while you were in that retirement status. But I'm referring to last September when the board let you know that that would be a requirement to get you back into licensure. Is there a reason that you haven't started that yet?
When I talked to Judy about my lack of continuing education, I told her that I could not. I mean, 140 hours of continuing education is a ton of continuing education. I would, from that moment, if you grant me interim license, I will start continuing education immediately, and I will, you know, I will do whatever it takes to make sure that I have enough competency that I could function as a physical therapist.
Okay.
Because when I talked to Judy about my continuing education, she said that she could waive the 140 hours of continuing education. So I just said, fine. All I can tell you is that if I'm granted an interim license, I will immediately start accumulating the 140 hours. I swear. I swear. And, you know, I don't know what I can say, but, you know, everything that, you know, this has been a tremendous, you know, I just feel, if I were granted an interim license and I continue, I started my continuing education, and Dad Rummage would verify that I do indeed have the wherewithal to function as a physical therapist. You know, I mean, you read my my.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Barrasso, you've said that a number of times. We do understand your position here. Are there any further questions?
No.
And I'm going to move that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
Who did the second?
It was Mr. Barton and Mr. Giovanni.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. For those attending the meeting, the board will exit this meeting and go into executive session. Please wait in this meeting. The board will return shortly. Monica, I think everybody's left. Let me know if it bleeds over.
Okay, I sure will.